Thank you, Lord, for Dom's life. And thank you for the journey and the way that it now intersects with ours. So as he opens your word and shares from his heart, we pray that your spirit will honour your word and that you'll give Dom a deep peace about what he has to say and the insight he brings. And Lord, we pray that there will be a response in our hearts as we hear and listen and absorb what you've got to say to each of us as individuals. In the name of Jesus, and all the soldiers and the friends and the saints said,
Amen.
Amen. There you go, mate. Thanks. Go for it.
Excellent. We could stand up there. Plenty of options. Thank you for the very warm welcome that we've received this morning. Quite often people ask, you know, how are you guys doing? To be honest, feel like a deer in the headlights today as we step into a new space for us as a family, as we get used to a new church community, a new home, all those sorts of things. It certainly is a transition that's been happening for some 5 months for us since we started talking about it. But I'll tell you one thing, it's better to be in the room than to sit at home on Facebook and watch it on the screen. It is so much better to be able to actually be here, and a little bit surreal to some degree. First of all, I want to thank Bindi this morning for coming and sharing. I also do want to honour Andrew and Melissa, and it's a real privilege and an honour for us to come and to lead after you guys. And from the moment we're able to talk about here, it's just been a great journey for us to share on that level. And I just want to honour you guys today for that and just being able to really invite us open arms into this space. So thank you for that this morning. I also want to honour your kids as part of that. For Kate, Talia, Eden and Becca. They invited us into their home to show us around, and that's a big thing. And not just once, but twice we got to come in. And so I want to honour them in that transition as well. And also want to thank everyone for the messages of welcome, particularly old friends that we've been able to reconnect with, who have been able to have reached out to us. Thank you for the meals that we've received. I think we've only cooked twice since we arrived. I have to learn how to cook again. But I just really appreciate that, and in particular the leadership team for coming around us, for welcoming us home as well. And we just thank you for that as we do that. I'd like to confess today that I don't like moving house. I do like the adventure of going to a new community, sussing out the local shops, checking out the local attractions, but I got to say, I don't like moving house. We've actually done it twice in the last 3 months, by choice, part of that as well, but it's like that never-ending task that never ceases. We've still got boxes in our garage. If they're there in 12 months, hopefully we can just get rid of them, but it's certainly not a fun thing at all to do. And it feels like the last house we're in, we just camped in for a short period of time. But when does a house actually become a home? When does a house actually become a home for you? And it takes a while, doesn't it? I know in our house, you move the furniture around and you move it again and you move it a third time until you just seem to get things in the right area. Maybe it's when the kitchen's set up right. You know how many times I go to the cutlery drawer, which is actually the odd bod drawer where it's got the tongs and everything else, looking to knife to butter my toast. I'm going to the wrong one all the time. Maybe once we find that the right location for those things, does that house become a home? But when you walk down the hallway in the middle of the night, you know, when it's dark, you're trying to feel your way, and you run into that door that's already half open, and that has happened already. You sleep funny and it's all odd. It just doesn't feel comfortable, does it? It feels uncomfortable sometimes. It feels uncomfortable as you do that. And it's a little like Sam and I today. You know, for us, things don't feel completely comfortable yet. It feels a little bit uncomfortable, if I was to be honest, as we carve out our new journey here. It feels a little bit uncomfortable as we unpack. It's like, for us, metaphorically, the furniture isn't in the right place at the moment. And it might be the same for you guys as well. That suddenly the furniture's shifted a little bit and we've got to take some time to work that out together, where we put the couch or what drawer we put the cutlery in. Not that we're moving things around, that's just metaphorically, right? But do you know what I mean? Like, it takes time to get that right. And we know about change, and change takes place. But we know Jesus is part of uncomfortable situations. Jesus is in the uncomfortable. And I've known time and time again through this transition for us that he's been there in the uncomfortable situations. I want to share one of his stories today, and it's early on in his ministry. So just to put it into context, Jesus was in Jerusalem for the Passover, one of the times he travelled down to there. He'd only just started to get some disciples beside him and took them on the journey. And he went into the temple courts where they were selling animals and exchanging currency and stuff like that. And Jesus seen that as a complete injustice, that his place was meant to be a house of prayer. So what did he do? So he didn't have much, he wasn't overly well known at that point in time in his ministry. So he turned over the tables and chased everyone out of there. Talk about an uncomfortable situation, right? He comes in and just turns the place upside down, sends everyone out. So they leave that place and head up to the Judean countryside where his disciples were baptizing. The religious leaders saw Jesus' popularity was starting to increase. They're sort of looking from the outside, just observing and seeing this has taken place. And Jesus learnt about that and goes, he learnt about it and said, it's time for us to move on again. My time has not come yet at this point in time. It's time to move in. This sense of uncomfortableness was continuing. But in heading back to Galilee, there was two ways to go. He could go through this place called Samaria, or he could avoid that, cross over the Jordan and go a different way home, which was the common way for Jews. So in essence, he should have crossed over, but he made a conscious decision to head through Samaria, to move, take his disciples into an uncomfortable situation. And I chose this story this morning because I really like this story of Jesus' interaction, Jesus in the uncomfortable spaces. And I really like what it is. So there's a lot more to it. It's found in John 4 if you want to go away and read it. If you like watching things, The Chosen does a phenomenal clip. I haven't watched a lot of The Chosen, but this one in particular is just phenomenal. And I encourage you to go dig into it a bit deeper. But we're going to jump in at verse 5. And it says, eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long journey, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at that time because the disciples had gone away to the village to buy some food. So he sent the disciples off. He's there at the well, and there's suddenly this interaction. A Samaritan comes out, a Samaritan woman, an unnamed Samaritan woman, comes out to draw water from this well. You see, we're led to believe that this woman came out in the heat of the day as she didn't feel comfortable to do it in the cool of the day with her community. Because the community, they usually do it together. They come out in a group. And so she wanted to avoid that. She had a history which Jesus dove into. But she chose this time to go out where she could avoid everyone. So she could be more comfortable, maybe uncomfortable by the heat, which we're experiencing being from Canberra. It is a little warmer here, but we're coping with that. But in minding her own business, Jesus breaks the silence in this interaction and asks her for a drink. So life lesson one, Jesus is in the uncomfortable. Jesus is in the uncomfortable. Jesus was ready to meet her that day. He was there to meet her. He even sent his disciples off. Strategic or not, the disciples weren't there. They were out of the picture. But Jesus went about the ordinary and was able to seek her out in that space. The disciples didn't know what was going on. The Samaritan woman didn't know what was going on. And maybe Jesus was following the instructions from the Father. But I suspect there was a divine appointment made for Jesus that day. Either way, Jesus was in that uncomfortable situation. Sometimes we need uncomfortable situations in our lives to remind us that we're not in control. Do you agree with that? Sometimes we need to be placed in those spaces where we realize we're not in control. We might try to take control. I like try to take control of my situation. We might try to fix things with our power, prolong or even avoid the situation. I said to Sam this morning, being a bit nervous, going, "Oh, I just want to stay in bed a little bit longer this morning." But that's where we allow God is able to work in our lives, hey? When we're pushed into that space, when we go, "You know what? I haven't got it, God. But what can you do in this situation?" Jesus is in the uncomfortable. Secondly, Jesus invites us to ask of him. Jesus invites us to ask of him. While this unnamed Samaritan woman was there in the minding her own business, Jesus breaks the silence and asks for a drink, making this situation more uncomfortable, and goes on like this. It says, "And Jesus said to her, 'Please give me a drink.' The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything with Samaritans." Right? They refused to have anything to do with each other. She said to Jesus, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." She said, "But sir, you don't have a bucket. You don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water?" There's a lot that happens in those couple of little paragraphs there. There's a lot of interaction that takes place. Jesus is there holding out this gift, a message of hope, and hope that can only be found in him to this Samaritan woman. Holds it out. But she misses it and goes straight to the practical solution. How are you going to put the bucket down? How are you going to get water out of this well when you've got no means of being able to do that? I can relate to her story because I work with a practical mindset. If there's a problem, I like to fix it. And that's usually fixed by 2 YouTube clips, a cordless drill, a roll of duct tape, and 7 trips to Bunnings to get what I need. Yeah? That's how I fix things. That's how it works. Because I draw on that practical application. I think she does as well. She goes, you know, you want a drink. How are you going to actually take care of that? But in her answering her own question, she asks, "Where can I get this living water?" She recognizes that Jesus has a gift for her that she can't get anywhere else. She asks the question, and the question that Jesus invites us to ask is, where can we receive that gift? Where can we receive that gift of love, of grace, of mercy? Where do we receive that from? So Jesus invites her to ask. But Jesus wasn't there for the practical was the opportunity. Was his opportunity. But at the heart of the matter is what Jesus wanted to share with her, was that I have something far greater for you. You just need to ask. Do you find it hard to ask sometimes? Yeah, I do. Sometimes I even find, you know, I'll try and work out the practical solution where Jesus asks us to pray, to ask our Heavenly Father for those things, because he wants that opportunity to do a work in our lives. As we go, she asked Jesus in saying, "Anyone," and Jesus replied to her, "Anyone who drinks this water soon becomes thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come out here for water." So again, she wants it. But she's nearly thinking of the practical. And on that practical side, that if I receive this water, then I can avoid this uncomfortable situation. I can avoid coming out with others out here with their wagging tongues talking about my history. I can just stay at home and be comfortable and find comfort in that. I don't have to be confronted by this Jew who's turned up here on this day. Do you know that I love... in this story is that Jesus doesn't turn away from this unnamed woman. He doesn't turn his back on her. He doesn't write off her responses and say, "You just haven't got it." Instead, he invites her to something else. He welcomes her home. He welcomes her home. He welcomes her into a relationship with her. And as the story continues, while he brings up her life choices that she hadn't shared with him, he doesn't condemn her, but draws her closer and points to the reality that a time is coming and is already here where it's not going to matter if you're Jew, Samaritan, whatever. It doesn't matter where you worship. It's as long as you worship in spirit and truth. Which in my mind, you come to me, be honest with me. To open up your heart to me and I'll do a work in your life. And I'll do a work in your life. Jesus wants us to ask. But not only that, he wants us to do something about it. Jesus asks us to respond to him. Asks us to respond to him. After Jesus revealed to her, she went off, leaving the water jars. She come out there to draw water from the well to take home for her household. But she was so excited by this interaction that happened, she couldn't wait to go off and tell the very community she was trying to avoid what had happened that day. Hey, there was a real stirring that had taken place in her life through this interaction with Jesus that suddenly her life was changed. So much so, it was bubbling out of her mouth. She couldn't help but talk about it. She abandoned what she was there for. Did she understand everything of Jesus? Did she understand theology? Did she go to Bible college? No. What she knew was that interaction that she had with Jesus when Jesus revealed something to her that day. Did she wait for everything to be perfect, to look the part, to have everything dealt with in her life? No. She went back the same person, but changed from the inside out because of what Jesus had done. She responded by that. And it goes on to say that that many people come to hear about it. Not only that, they invited Jesus to come and spend some more time with them. We didn't know if Jesus was going to just travel through and what was actually planned, but Jesus spent more time sharing with them and teaching with them. So no matter the changes, no matter how uncomfortable life can be, Jesus is with us, and he's there to give us hope along the way. Friends, moving is uncomfortable, and so is change, because it is stepping out of the familiar, the comfortable, and to face some of the unfamiliar situations that come our way. But while we experience the things that change, there are things that don't change along the way, isn't there? You know, and I've shared with different people who've met in the last week, and we've got to, you know, keep reminding ourselves of things that don't change. Andrew shared here one Sunday back in, I think, about September sometime, that the things that don't change. I want to remind us each of those today, if that's okay. The things that don't change is God, that God's love for us never changes, right? God's love for us never changes. Our circumstances might, our situations might. But his love for us never changes. Because it says in Psalm 136, God's love endures forever. God's love endures forever. God's word never changes. It never changes. It said the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And thirdly, God's purpose never changes. He's still about making disciples, bringing glory to himself, and reconciling himself to the world. About bringing people home. To be at home with him. And I want to invite the worship team back up because they're going to help us in a moment. I heard Nate say, because we've been able to watch online, which has been really, really a great gift for us over the last couple of months. And I've heard Nate say a couple of times when he's welcomed people home, it's a place where you can kick off your shoes, throw your keys down and make this place home. You know? And in doing so, in his welcoming people home, today our desire is to make this place our home as well, is to actually take our shoes off, right? Because I know that's what you do here, to put our keys on the floor, because I love being barefoot at home, right? I love being able to do that when I get home. And to despite feeling slightly uncomfortable at the moment, to over time make it comfortable. And to join you in the mission in this community to invite our community home. Home, not home physically, but home with the Heavenly Father. Home with the Heavenly Father. So this morning I want to offer an opportunity for you and in coming home. We've got a whole heap of little key rings here with a picture of a house on a little love heart. Right? So I'm hoping I've got enough. But if I haven't, we'll correct that in time. But maybe you want to come and take one of these. Take one to remind yourself that it might be time to come home. To come home to him. To come and sit at the feet of Jesus and reconcile yourself with him. And you can take it, you can kneel and pray or whatever you'd like to do. But it might be an opportunity to reconnect with the Heavenly Father. To find your home with him. Or maybe for you it's a time to commit yourself to invite your community home. I know that's a big part of the vision here. And maybe you want to recommit to that. Put it on your key ring so when you see that, you'll be reminded of your mission field when you head out to help other people find their home with Jesus. Or maybe you just need a key ring to put your keys on, right? Because I tell you, this week I've been looking for key rings to get all my keys together, get myself organized. But it may serve as a reminder of home and where we're headed to be with our Heavenly Father. So friends, whatever that looks like this morning, I'm new here, but I want to make this place my home for the next season of our life. And if you want to come and respond, however that is, there's plenty of them here in the basket. If you want to pray, whatever the business you need to do with the Heavenly Father, I invite you to do that this morning while the worship team play. Is that good? Let's do that this morning.